Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Celebrating Black History Month, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Growing up, Robert Battle dreamed of dancing for the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. Now artistic director, he discusses the dance group's 60th anniversary.
You have to be mindful that you are a part of a legacy, that you're taking care of a legacy that has history.
What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. Huh, that was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a final confirmation vote in the Senate moments ago for Kash Patel's nomination to lead the FBI. He, in a vote to 59-47.
The yeas are 51, the nays are 49. The confirmation is confirmed.
Before the final tally, Democrats spoke on the Senate floor to oppose his confirmation. Senator Dick Durbin on why he voted against.
Let's be honest about what's going on here. There's an effort to have Soviet-style historical revision.
Republican Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska also voted no. The IRS says it's begun laying off more than 6,000 new and newly promoted employees across the country. A source familiar with the planning told ABC News it's part of the broader campaign to shrink the federal workforce and could impact the tax filing season. And Kentucky's governor says the death toll has risen to 15 from this week's back-to-back storms and flooding. This is ABC News. The Trump administration launching a review of federal funding spent on building a high-speed rail line in California.
California's so far non-existent high-speed rail trains running from L.A. to San Francisco were supposed to have been up and running years ago. It's a project long pushed by Democrats and loathed by Republicans who use it as an example of wasted money. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy at L.A.'s Union Station announcing there will be an investigation into how federal money has been spent on the project.
To initiate a compliance review of funding to the California High-Speed Rail Authority.
The plan for it running from L.A. to San Francisco has shrunk to Merced to Bakersfield. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says she plans to fight the Trump administration's efforts to end congestion pricing in Manhattan. The Transportation Department pulled federal approval yesterday, but Hochul and supporters of the added toll for commuters entering parts of Manhattan say it's working. Michelle Franz, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print it all for my business.
Oh, if you can think it, Staples can print it, and we'll beat any print quote.
Oh, great. I'm thinking new brochures and yard signs?
No problem.
I'm thinking calendars, t-shirts, and pens.
Totally.
I'm thinking Staples is the place for printing.
I thought you might think that.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4/5 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in-store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/pricematch for details.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A Republican-authored bill reversing Department of Public Instruction test standards was approved along party lines in the Wisconsin Assembly Wednesday. The bill's author, Representative Robert Wittke.
There's no legislative oversight on the scoring and assessment of our kids. So this bill will establish that. It will take us back to where we were before the health emergency, and then it will tie us to the national assessment governing body, so we will be once again allowed to compare ourselves to other states.
The bill reverses changes made to state state testing standards made under State Superintendent Jill Underley, who's up for re-election in April. Democratic Governor Tony Evers proposed two-year state budgets now in the hands of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, where Republican co-chair Senator Howard Markline says Evers' policy preferences will be weeded out.
We're going back to base like we have for the last several budgets. We're going to build a budget that's fair, that's sustainable into the future, and doesn't impact our businesses and our families adversely.
Evers' plan includes a more than $3 billion increase in state funding for K-12 schools. After vowing earlier this week that he wouldn't cut Medicaid, President Donald Trump Wednesday indicated he's on board with a House Republican budget resolution that calls for $880 billion in cuts to the program. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Their ultimate goal, what everything is working towards, is a massive tax break for the very wealthy. That is the whole ballgame. This whole process to find room in the budget for those cuts is consuming the House, the Senate, and the White House.
Baldwin warned that cuts to the program that provides health insurance to low-income Americans will not be painless and will fall especially hard on rural Wisconsin. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Finally, some comfortable temperatures with highs hitting the low 20s and plenty of sunshine throughout the day. We pretty much put this on repeat for tomorrow, all ahead of a major warm-up hitting next week. In fact, by Saturday, we'll hit highs in the upper 20s and by Sunday, above freezing. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. It's 18 degrees at our studios.
The Soy Complex posted a solid rally with meal, bean oil, and soybean futures all higher. That helped pull corn prices slightly higher and to limit selling in wheat futures. The sellers were in control of the livestock markets, with the cattle complex and lean hog futures all solidly lower.
Live, seated solidly behind our respective workstations via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, buddy. Are you okay? I miss you already, man.
Dude, it seems like so long, you know?
Oh.
I don't even know when it was. We were sitting next to each other. We could converse. Little side eye once in a while, you know, little inside joke.
Right.
Little elbow.
Yeah. Right. And here we are, back in our respective locales, and here I am in the bunker. I mean, it is cold outside. We've got some more cold temperatures coming our way tomorrow morning, and then we start to warm up a little bit as we get into next week. 40 degrees by midweek next week.
That's balmy. That's balmy.
We're going to be melting snow like crazy up here.
Yeah. I think you're going to like that.
I think I am, too. Well, you're going to like it, too, with all the snow that you've got on the ground down in KC. So
I'm looking forward to, you know, I cleared a path for the mailman, and I cleared a path up the driveway. I looked at the forecast and thought, you know what, let's let Mr. Sunshine take care of the rest.
He knows what to do. And, you know, if Mr. Sunshine needs a little help, a little bit of salt doesn't hurt his efforts.
There you go. Can confirm.
Help him out. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us this afternoon. That is Davis. And we've got Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions, coming in. And we're going to have a conversation about what is happening in the markets, what might happen in the markets, what's on the calendar that we need to pay attention to as far as what might be a market mover. And then, of course, we got to get to the risk management side of things as well. All right, man, let's go ahead and get started.
Well, sure thing, Chip. Wheat futures closed below support at yesterday's low and saw back-to-back days with a high range open and a low range close. Early support for wheat prices was tied to crop concerns around the world. Frigid temperatures in Russia and the U.S. winter wheat production areas raised concerns about winter kill. And India's major wheat area is reportedly 80% behind on rainfall this season. The losses in wheat futures today came despite heavy pressure on the U.S. dollar. March HRW wheat futures were 6¼ cents lower at 607.5. March soft red wheat down 6½ cents to 585.5. March spring wheat futures closed at 632¾. That's down 0.75 cents, Chip.
We have got to pay attention to what's going on in India with their veg oil issues that they've got, and and now drought in the wheat areas. That India could be a very much a developing story.
Well, the corn market felt spillover support from the soy complex. March corn futures opened on session lows and rallied to trade with a five handle for a third consecutive session. But front month corn fell back to close just above the opening range. Resistance in March corn is at this week's high of 504.5, with support at Tuesday's low of 493¼. Crop watchers point to yield stress in Argentina and delayed planting of the Safrina corn crop as support for prices. March corn futures were a half cent higher at 498. May corn up a half cent, 512¾. July corn futures closed at 516¾, up a penny and a half. Chip.
Yeah, conditions have improved some in central Brazil, though. They're getting that bean crop harvested, and they're getting the Safrina corn crop planted.
Well, soybean oil led the rally in the soy complex. Beans were solidly higher, but even soybean meal held on to slight gains. Refiners in India have canceled 70,000 metric tons of palm oil orders due to high prices. Palm oil prices have been working to the upside as Indonesia increases its diesel blend rate to 40% bio-based fuels. Continued stress on the Argentine bean crop also provided some support for prices. March beans opened slightly higher at near session lows, pushed higher to close near session highs, and still, front month beans posted an inside trading day. March beans were 13¾ higher at 1045.5. May beans up 14¾, 1063. July beans closed at 1077¾, up 13¾ cents, Chip.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that we'd have that bean market up 13-14 cents and have an inside trading day, which is kind of pointing at some additional consolidation as we go forward.
Well, Chip, expectations that cotton plantings will fail to reach 10 million acres this year failed to support cotton prices today. March cotton, 27 points lower at 65.97, sub 10 million cotton acres, Chip?
Yeah. The number that I saw was 9.6 million. And,
wow.
Boy, cotton's trying to throw acres away. I mean, that's the way that market's trading right now.
Well, let's go to the livestocks, where choice graded heavyweight boxed beef prices were $1.80 lower this morning. That helped to keep traders on the sell side of live cattle ahead of tomorrow's cattle on feed report. After attempting to build support at 195 in April live cattle last week, the market is finding resistance at that level this week. April fat cattle today down 97½ cents to 193.80. March feeder futures off $2.20 to 266.82½. And on the snout side, lean hog futures gapped lower again this morning, but then rallied to fill the gap before reversing to close near session lows. April lean hogs down $1.22½ today to 88.52½, Chip.
Yeah, lean hog futures gapped lower yesterday morning as well, and that downside price gap is still open. So either that market's going to have to recover and fill that gap before it extends to the downside, or the hog market just doesn't leave gaps open that often, so we need to watch that. All right, good stuff, Davis. Thanks. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Not too bad. What are you thinking on cattle? I mean, can we catch a bid, or is this thing just kind of bound to drift for a while?
Yeah, I think live cattle has a chance at consolidating here. 193 is a big area for that April contract. It was the top end of the range from last spring, summer, and fall, and then the breakout point in December. So previous resistance, now going to be pretty significant support. If that gives way, then you might see the long liquidation continue to snowball prices lower, with the next line in the sand near 190, 189. Feeder cattle is actually what I'm a little bit more concerned about. They've been holding up better relative to live cattle, and we've got a bit of a head and shoulders pattern forming as well. Looking at the April contract, 270s, that right shoulder. You've also got the 20-day moving average in there. 264, 263 is significant support. That's going to be the must-hold area if you're bullish. A break and close below there, and that's where things could escalate. And if you're bullish, you really want to see consecutive closes back above 270 to neutralize some of the damage that's been done here over the last month.
All right. All right. Very good. Talk to me about beans. It was a nice day in that market.
A nice day in the beans. The third day trading to that 20-day moving average, 1063 for that May contract. I would love to see a closeout above there. I don't know that we'll be able to see that this week or not. I'm not going to hold my breath for it, but I'm still pretty optimistic on beans. I think we could go retest those highs that we saw at the end of January and the start of February. Hopefully get some friendly catalysts to propel us up there and get this market moving. Corn, on the other hand, has been a little bit more frothy feeling, I'd say. It's been the leader to the upside. So something to keep an eye on into the weekend.
Yep. Good stuff, Oliver. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
All right. That is Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Okay. Coming up next, I mean, we're going to hit all the markets today. We're going to hit livestock. We're going to hit grains. We might even talk a little bit of cotton. We've got Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions, up next here on AgriTalk.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Okay, aunties, huddle up.
FFA members adhere to a code of ethics to promote their own development and make a positive difference in the lives of others. They strive to be courteous, honest, and fair, modest in winning and generous in defeat, developing the traits of great leadership. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for all of their hard work throughout the year, this FFA salute brought to you by Compeer Financial, a farm credit cooperative serving and supporting agriculture and rural communities.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us this afternoon. We are going to have a conversation with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. Brian, it's good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
Chip, it's great to talk with you. How you been?
Good, good. Been a busy month so far out doing some meetings, but got a week off next week. And then, of course, big Commodity Classic meeting coming up, and we'll be out there. But how about you? You been keeping busy out talking to guys?
Yeah, we are busy all the time, it seems like. And weather has not been real fun this winter for a lot of places. I think here in down in southern Missouri, we've had more snow than like our office back in Yankton, South Dakota has had. We've had a lot more snow, which is pretty unusual.
Yes, it certainly is. Yeah, when I was leaving Kansas City yesterday, I'm thinking to myself, well, I won't have to go too far north before I drive out of this snow. It just, yeah, it kind of a weird situation, no doubt. Okay, what do you make of the markets? Nice move to the upside in the soy complex today. What got that going?
Well, I think there was, you know, some optimism from President Trump that he had indicated he would be meeting with President Xi. Now, there's no indication when that meeting would take place, but there is some optimism, I think, that with Trump is willing to talk with Xi, that they're going to sit down and work out some sort of an agreement without the U.S. putting some tariffs in place. Now, okay, it's a different situation, I think, with China and Canada and Mexico. We threatened tariffs on them, and they agreed to extend their talks so there wouldn't be any tariffs for 30 days. But Canada, Mexico need product shipped into the United States. They need product that they purchase from the United States, and they need to do that on a continuing basis. Whereas China, you know, they've bought no corn this year. They don't need to buy any corn this year. And they've bought soybeans, but they haven't bought anything for over a month from the U.S. as far as soybeans. So they don't need to buy anything with the South American crop coming on. So we're in a much different situation where I believe China can stall out negotiations until sometime August, September, before they're really forced to buy any U.S. product. And I think that optimism that lifted the soy complex today, soybean market, is probably misplaced. I don't think we're going to be seeing any type of an agreement relatively soon between the U.S. and China. Now, once we have an agreement in place, or if there's agreement in place, that is a reason for optimism that they're going to buy more products of U.S. agricultural products, U.S. corn, U.S. soybeans. Today, we don't have that agreement in place, and I don't think it's coming anytime soon. So probably misguided as far as the soybean market goes. I think tomorrow's exports will show a slowdown in our sales once again, right? Maybe some more cancellations of U.S. soybean purchases. And we also have option expiration tomorrow afternoon, seeing a little bit of positioning ahead of that event that takes place tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just as a reminder to everybody, President's Day holiday on Monday pushed the weekly export sales report that is usually out on Thursday mornings to tomorrow morning. So we'll get those updates. What about India? Does India factor into this with the talk about what's going on with their veg oil trade?
Well, it's interesting that you bring India up, because that is a market that I think everybody would love to open up, because the population is just booming in India, and they don't buy hardly any products out of the United States. We've tried for years to get that that nation opened up to be buying U.S. egg products, and they have pretty much refused. And I think the consensus from people like Greg Dowd and others is that it's a market that we're always going to talk, we're always going to have interest, but we're never going to be able to sell any product to them.
Exactly. I am the more conversations that I have about India is I'm not saying that it's a lost cause market. Because there's gotta be some potential to move product out there. But the optimism that was there 2-3 years ago about the India market, Brian, it just seems to have basically kind of turned into a joke, hasn't it?
Yeah, the optimism was there because of a couple of years ago, because they had a situation where they absolutely had to import some palm oil or some bean oil into their country. And so we thought we had a tremendous stockpile of that, and we would be in the driver's seat to export to them. And there were negotiations, and they went absolutely nowhere. And India did not buy from us, even though it looked like they had no alternative. They found a different place to buy from. That's how bad they do not want to do business with the United States. Maybe President Trump can change that. He's a great negotiator. Maybe he'll change that in the next 4 years. But as we stand today, I think any trade optimism or bets being placed on India buying from the United States is probably going to end up being a losing bet.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not going to buy from Canada either. I mean, Canada has got as many difficulties doing trade negotiations, trade deals with India as the United States does. So it's just it's kind of a confusing market. There's no question. But they pick sides. That's what it feels like. It feels like they have picked sides, and they're gonna move on without the United States, I guess. Okay, corn. It did a decent job of following along for a lot of the day, and kind of softened up there late in the session. What's going on there?
Yeah, you know, it feels like this is a very heavily invested speculative marketplace, meaning the funds have started staking their bets being long corn back in August, and they've continued it until February, and they continue to be buyers of corn. But outside of their speculative buying, there isn't a strong reason or compelling reason to buy the corn market. You know, you look at spreads and basis levels and that sort of thing, and there you don't really make a case that this is a bull market. This hasn't been led by the front month contracts, you know, Dece over March or March over the May contracts. You don't see that type of relationship. There's quite the carry between March out into May. And so it tells us that, yeah, this market is one that has been bought by the speculators. And right now they seem to be rolling out of some of their March contracts, either just outright banking profits or maybe moving over into the May contracts or even the July contract to maintain some ownership. But we didn't make new highs today. We kind of started off the overnight session, almost 24 hours ago, holding the previous session lows, and we found some buying interest. But when we were unable to make new highs, there seemed to be some profit taking come into the market. And plus, you had wheat futures trading lower. It was kind of the path of least resistance for corn to start to fade back near the lows of the night session, which is where we closed, almost exactly where we opened the night trade last night.
Yeah. Yeah. What about longer term? I mean, it feels like this rally in corn has been going on for a while.
Right.
Can we continue this?
Yeah, I think we can for a period of time. You know, we're doing a very long rally in here without really the benefit of any weather issues or weather concerns around the world, or certainly not the United States. It's one that demand has improved slightly. We've had, you know, some instances where the USDA has increased exports 125, 150 million bushels through the winter months. They've increased ethanol usage, and they did lower yields. If you go all the way back to like August and September supply and demand reports, they lowered yields to give us tighter ending stocks. So in that case, you can say fundamentally we worked higher off of that news. But when you have these long sustained markets that we've had, bull markets like this, it almost always comes with a weather market. And that has not been the case. Maybe we're starting to slow down some buying interests. Maybe the speculative community has reached a point where they don't have quite the appetite that they did. And now that corn's in the May contract anyway, well, $5.10, they don't have that appetite they had when it was $4.50 or $4.40. A lot of producers we talk with are looking ahead at that December contract. It's at 479, 480.
Yeah.
Wanting to know, maybe we should be buying some put options or locking in a floor or making cash sales. And I think that's a great, great marketing strategy. You really, you know, if you're a producer, you really have to look ahead and ask yourself, are prices going to get appreciably better? Could they get appreciably worse? It looks like we're going to go back to planting a lot of acres. 2 years ago in the 2023 marketing season, we planted about 94.6 million acres. Well, there was a private company out today that said they expect to see 94.5 million acres planted this year, about 4 million more than a year ago.
Right.
If we plant over 94 million, I think we've only done that four other times in history. That's when you start talking about a significant build in ending stocks, and that's a lot of acres to plant. So, yes, if we're going to plant 94, 95 million acres, it's time, or getting close to time, to be looking at longer term hedging protection with cash sales, put options, outright futures hedges, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. All right. Brian, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the 26 crop, that acreage mix that you were mentioning, and how we might go at, about locking in some prices. And hey, this week, I even had questions about 26 crop marketing. Let's talk a little bit about that. Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions.
Something special is happening in America's cornfields. It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. Where March HRW wheat futures were 6¼ cents lower at 607.5. March SRW down 6½ cents to 585.5. March corn futures were all of 0.5 cent higher at 498. July corn futures closed at 516¾. That's up 1½ cents today. March soybean futures, 13¾ cents higher on the day to 1045.5. May beans up 14¾ cents to 1063. March cotton, 27 points lower at 65.97. On your livestock, April fat cattle down 97½ cents to 193.80. March feeder futures off $2.20 to 266.82.5. And April lean hog futures down $1.22.5 to $88.52.5. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Okay, antibodies huddle.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
They're tomorrow's business leaders and teachers, engineers and scientists. Today's young people learning to be the best they can be as members of the FFA, preparing for demanding careers in the years ahead. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members and volunteers.
Recognizing our local FFA chapters for all of their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute brought to you by O'Galley Cheese Factory, open 7 days a week, Highway 25, Durand.
O'Galley Cheese is the home of award-winning Parmesan and Asiago cheeses. O'Galley Cheese starts with high-quality milk from local dairy farms, all located within 25 miles of Durand. O'Galley Cheese salutes all farmers and the youth of our community for continuing the important tradition of the FFA. O'Galley Cheese, located 2 miles north of Durand on Highway 25, opens 7 days a week.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Finally, some comfortable temperatures with highs hitting the low 20s and plenty of sunshine throughout the day. We pretty much put this on repeat for tomorrow, all ahead of a major warm-up hitting next week. In fact, by Saturday, we'll hit highs in the upper 20s, and by Sunday, above freezing. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. It's 18 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. Hey, Brian, before we dig into these new crop markets just a little bit more, you were talking about the lack of demand from China, that there is no trade agreement. What is happening there? Is it that they are getting what they need from Brazil, or is demand from China shifting to the downside?
No, their demand really hasn't waned at all. They're just buying what they can from Brazil or from other areas. Countries they really don't want to buy from the United States. They're buying soybeans from Brazil. They're buying corn from Argentina. They're buying corn from the Ukraine when they're able to. There's a lot of places they'd rather buy than from the United States, which is why President Trump sees such a big trade imbalance. So we buy a lot of products from China, and they are not buying a lot of products from the United States unless they really have to. When we've seen years where Brazil or Argentina has had some drought type issues where they're pretty much forced to come to the United States and buy corn or buy soybeans. You know, remember back all the way back into the 90s when China first started buying corn because of some issues that they couldn't source it elsewhere, that back in like 95 and prices really took off and rallied. Yeah. We need more buying interest from other countries, including China. So their needs continue to grow every year. It's just the fact that they're shifting their buying patterns away from the United States into other countries that can fulfill those needs.
So what's your level of optimism that we can build enough domestic demand here in the U.S. to chew through bean supplies?
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be hard with the bean supplies that we have. You know, the USDA did tighten up our balance sheets through the winter months to, you know, 360 million bushels of ending stocks. So that's certainly not a real burdensome number. And if we plant less soybeans this year and more corn, that should keep those balance sheets, you know, fairly tight, that we can have a decent price level for soybeans. The problem is going to be, you know, the world just seems awash in soybeans right now. We just have Argentina is going to have a pretty decent sized crop. Last year, they had a drought stricken crop. This year, Brazil is going to plant and harvest a record crop, probably around 170 million tons. There's some estimates to 175 million tons. That's a monster crop, over 6 million bushels, whereas we only grow about 4.4. So they're outproducing us, and they continue to expand their acreage every year. And this rally that we've seen through these winter months here, kind of a boon to these farmers that are harvesting beans in Brazil and selling them right now. They'd love to see these higher prices rather than prices moving sharply lower.
Yeah, I was starting to think that the cycle had shifted on us in soybeans, but I'm not too sure if it has, you know, because we always seem to see a rally in the global bean market as the Brazilians are harvesting that crop, given their best opportunity of the year to sell it. I was kind of hoping that maybe we were starting to switch that to a rally during the U.S. harvest, but it sure didn't play out this last year. There's no doubt about that. Okay, the acreage mix. You've talked about it a couple of times. What are you thinking on corn and beans?
Yeah, you know, we have an outlook for them next week, so the USDA is going to kind of give us their first glimpse of acres. But I think we're going back right back to where we were 2 years ago, 94.6 million, maybe even higher. I think we're probably going to be close to 95 million this year. There's probably a lot of acres out of the Delta that instead of planting cotton, they're going to try and plant corn this year. So I'm looking back at my records, and we planted 95.3 million acres in 2013, 97.2 in 2012, and that's the only times we've been above 95 million acres ever until I think this year. So I think we'll probably be in that 95 million acres this year, maybe even more than that, as we shift a lot of acres. Now, I've heard some clients say, you know, they've done all the penciling and balance sheets and cash flows, and it pencils out to plant corn. Now, if you own your land, maybe you try and keep things in more of a rotation and don't shift a lot of acres. Keep corn, soybeans, you know, as a rotational crop. But if you're renting land, it's probably going to be a lot of corn on corn acres this year, I'm hearing.
Okay. All right. So real quick on the marketing, you got the Dease 25 out there at about 480. What are your thoughts there?
So yeah, these 25 at 480, I'd say let's start doing something. 475, 485, 495 up to $5. I think those are all reasonable objectives here in the next 3-4 weeks before that planting intentions report.
Okay.
And before we start really planting a lot of corn in the next 5-6 weeks in April across the Midwest. Those reasonable objectives to hit. I think, you know, you probably want to look at maybe some put options as well. You can, you know, supplement that with buying puts, selling calls, selling puts, a lot of different ways to do that. I think you really want to start doing something at some profitable price levels. We've had a big rally of appreciation, you know, December corn. If you think back into early part of December, we were around 430. So 428 to 478. This is a 50 cent rally.
Yeah.
Rewarding 50 cent rallies in corn, I think, is always good marketing strategy.
Okay. Dees 26, 472.5. I was asked about it earlier this week. I'll admit, I mean, I talked about it and we kind of figured some things out in a conversation, but I hadn't given it that much thought yet. What are your thoughts at 470?
Well, yeah, you know, if we go back to our rotation ideas where we're planting a lot of acres 1 year and then shifting them again. So we look back to 23. We said there was 94.6 acres. We swung about 4 million acres less in 24. In 22, we had 88.5. So we added 6 million acres. The year before that in 21, we were at 93.2. So we seem to be shifting 3 to 6 million acres every year, whether we plant it or not. So next year, if we plant 95 million this year and we swing maybe 3 million less acres, now we're planting 91, 92 million, still a lot of acres, but on a normal rotation, that 472, maybe that's going to be seen as cheap at this time a year from now. Maybe not.
Right.
Maybe we,
right.
you know, maybe we're going to need to buy a few more acres and plant a few more acres than 90 and a half or 91. Kind of depends on how much of a production year we have this year.
Yeah, exactly.
If we grow a big crop, record crop, it's going to be, you know, it's probably going to look like we wish we would have been selling at 472.
Yeah, a lot of time between now and having to make those decisions on that 26 crop. Okay, buddy, tell me about cattle. What are your thoughts here?
Boy, things can change in a hurry in commodity business, and look no further than the cattle market. You know, back at the end of January, 3 weeks ago, this cattle market was the darling of everything. It seemed like the packers couldn't get enough cattle. They were buying for 2 or 3 weeks out and paying $3-4 higher, and the cutouts were screaming higher, and all of a sudden things reversed and we took out some technical levels of support, and the funds decided this was not where they wanted to be. And, you know, we've dropped from our highs now about $13.5, $14. And some of that has been because of the fundamentals. I think we probably got too high too quickly. A lot of that was focused on margin call type buying interests. Mm-hmm. You know, people who had been hedged decided they would get out of those hedges and hedge at higher prices, and you know how that goes. That never works. Prices have fallen off, but it does seem like consumer demand has reached a point where they've backed away at these higher price levels. You know, that's the job of the market. Is if you don't have enough supply, you go to a price level high enough that curbs that demand. And I think we've kind of reached that, and that's been the fear all along, is what price level is the consumer going to back away from purchasing? And I think we found that out in January. They've backed away. That has hurt our cutout values, that has really hurt the packer margins, and now you know, everybody's kind of wishing that we had a little bit more price appreciation, of course higher prices, but at some point the consumers will come back in and find these price levels that will stimulate the demand once again, and we'll have higher markets, but we're not going to increase the supplies of cattle anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, it's years from fixing the supply side problem that we've got here. Feeder cattle sure feel like they're vulnerable to headlines about trade with Mexico and the screw worm, don't they?
They do. Yeah. You know, they really do. And that's where the supplies will increase faster than on the fat side of things. First, you have to get the supplies of feeder calves. Yeah. to make fat, to grow into fat cattle. So it's there's the ones going to be most vulnerable to imports of cattle, either from Canada or from Mexico. And, they were hit pretty hard here today after a decent couple days. And, the most bullish thing you can say about the cattle and the feeder cattle market is, yes, supplies are tight, but you look at the discount that the futures are holding to the cash markets. In case of feeder cattle, the index, we're well below that index. At usually these type of price levels that we're trading at are attractive from a speculative standpoint. We are, $12 discount right now, and they do have to align themselves by the end of March. So either the cash is going to come down or the futures market has to come up, or they meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. Talking about the, disconnect between the futures market and the cash market, I got a message yesterday. Sale barn up in northeast Iowa, some 1,643-pound calves or cattle sold at 226 and a quarter. I mean, it's just an incredible market that we're dealing with, and something that is carrying a lot of value and a lot of risk. We need to manage it. Hey, yes, buddy, sir. Thank you so much for making time for us today, Brian. I sure appreciate you, man.
Appreciate jumping on with you. Have a great rest of your day. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. That is Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. All right, Davis and I, we haven't had much of an opportunity to just chat. We're going to do that next.
Young people who take an active interest in their futures find a lot to like in FFA. As members of the FFA, they apply what they learn in the classroom and in the field to meet the challenges of 21st century agriculture. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute being brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union, taking pride in serving the community.
Whatever your industry or service, we know running your own business is a point of pride. Pride in serving the community and pride in building something greater. And at Wisconsin Credit Union, we take pride in helping you achieve it. By offering everything from business accounts to ACH services, business remote deposit and card processing. We also provide the latest online and mobile banking services to save you even more time. And because investing in your business is key to growing it, we provide great rates and fast local decision-making on loans. We even offer the convenience of applying for our Business Express loans online. But what truly sets us apart is the level of personal attention you'll receive from Wisconsin loan officers who really know the local business climate. Because, like you, we're also proud to be a part of it. To find out more about our business loans and services, just stop in or visit our website. Wisconsin Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender, member eligibility required, member NCUA.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Future of your farm, you've probably noticed something. It takes more than money. It takes a lending partner that keeps you fully prepared to leap when land becomes available. That's why FBN Finance created a simple, easy pre-qualification process valid for up to 180 days. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers, to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Hey, and as it turns out, you're listening to AgriTalk right now. Beloved listener, we're so glad that you've decided to spend some time with us today. It's your pal, Davis Michelson, here, along with Chip Flory.
Yeah, man.
We're all back to where we were before.
Yeah, but then you got to go and break it up and just take a day off tomorrow.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do, too. Yeah.
Jeez, I don't even happy feel birthday, buddy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to the dentist this afternoon, so it might kind of even out a little bit. It's just a checkup. But still, you know, people, I like my dentist.
I've heard that.
Very friendly.
I've heard that from you before. That's turned into two or three follow-up visits.
Well, yes. That's when there were teeth missing, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We got a whole bunch of stuff fixed and straightened out and... You know, through that, I was like...
Well, you look great.
Thank you. Someday, I just want to go to the dentist and have them, you know, like just look at my teeth and let me go. You know? I'm hoping today's the day. It might be a big day for me.
Well, report in.
I will. I absolutely will. Good talk there with Brian Hoops. I don't know what to make of the cattle market. Currently, Oliver Slope was talking like fat cattle. You know, there was precedent they could maybe consolidate here and make another run at it. Mm-hmm. But then Hoops was kind of talking about you were both talking about it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to find out what the consumer is willing to pay for beef.
Yeah.
And what is too expensive? What is that line? We may be finding it now.
But Brian Hoops said something out loud that I think people have been shying away from saying. That the consumer demand is starting to fade at those higher prices that we saw very recently in the wholesale market. Now, is it fading because the retailers have decided that they're just going to back away from the market until they can get some better deals? Or had they tried to push those higher prices into the meat case and saw some resistance from the consumers? I'm not exactly sure where it stands right now, but we've talked about the stability in steak prices in particular.
Yeah.
How even though we're watching the wholesale market on ribs and everything go crazy and jump around all over the place, still just kind of some relative stability in the retail steak price. If that has started to grow old for the retailers,
yeah,
then we could start to see some real consumer resistance out there.
How about $7.99 a pound for top sirloin steak?
Well, that's not bad.
I don't think that's terrible. No. They got a beef rump roast here for $6.99 a pound. I might lean toward the steak if we're doing that.
That's steady. Well, rump roast at $6.99?
That's right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta make sandwiches out of something.
Well, you sure do. You sure do. You know, what I might make it out of is Boston-style pork butt roast for $1.49 a pound.
There
like
you
that.
Go.
I like that a lot.
Deal. Uh-huh. Look at that deal. Put that on the smoker for a few hours and see what you end up with. Yeah.
I'm going to get my teeth cleaned and go buy some pork.
There you go. Get smart.
But
get smart over the weekend.
And at some point, the consumer has to start to lean into pork, don't they? More so than we've seen. Shouldn't we expect to see a price response from that? If suddenly everybody's like, oh my gosh, $1.49 for butt roast, and everybody shows up and now suddenly pork is the new steak. I don't know if that's ever going to necessarily happen.
See,
but,
I mean, pork is living on bacon demand and ribs. When people go out, they see that people go out on. I mean, purposely they travel to get good ribs. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so we can't forget that there's that side of that pork market. But then you look at $1.49 on the Boston butt.
Yeah.
You look at whole pork loins for $1.79.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, there's a lot of good eating in those cuts, and it's still pretty cheap out there. And the point I'm making is the consumer hasn't leaned into that yet.
No, they haven't.
So, I don't know. They lean into bacon. They lean into ribs.
Sure.
But boy, we need some help out there.
When I was out a couple weeks ago in Wisconsin, one of the points that I made, because it was the Wisconsin Pork Association that had brought me in to speak to this, Corn and Soy Expo audience there. But I made sure to get a little something in there. Teach somebody how to cook pork. More people need to learn how to cook more cuts of pork successfully. We've talked about it a lot before. You get that pork chop that's just overdone and it's not nice. It's not good. Well, it's awesome if you cook it, with
a
little bit of thought put into it. And it's not hard. It's not difficult.
I tell you what, we could do the pork industry a favor and get a meat thermometer that when it reaches 145 degrees.
Okay.
And the most annoying alarm ever goes off, and it forces the cook to take some sort of action there.
Pork, something like that.
Dumb and Dumber's kind of going through my mind right now, too. The most annoying sound ever.
That would work.
It's just, you're right, though. We've got all kinds of evidence now that consumer demand for beef that they cook at home has increased over the past few years, and we're still kind of looking for that evidence on the pork side of things. Yep. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook, February 26th through March 2nd. We got above-normal temperatures expected across the western Corn Belt, Western Illinois to the west, near normal temperatures expected in the Eastern Belt. We got above normal precipitation expected in the northern production areas, near normal to below normal in the southern production areas. Real quick on the 8 to 14 day, Feb 28 to March 6th, got mixed temperatures, warm out west, near normal in the center, and below normal out east, above normal precip across the entire Corn Belt. It's a free-for-all tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk. Wiesmeyer Haney and me, let's all wish Davis a happy birthday.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it. Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you. But you decide if you pay it in full. But you definitely should, because again, interest charges. With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House touting President Trump's first 30 days in office. At today's briefing, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says the president has signed dozens of executives.